Okay, we are picking up the Gemara on Kuf Tezayin Amud Beis, where the second last line, the words of Amar Ravashi, just to give again where we were discussing, the Gemara had a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel, Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, and the Chachamim, whether when Shabbos falls out on the 14th day of Nisan, so then you have to bring the Korban Pesach. So then we're doing the din of Mafshit, you're skinning the animal, so then Rabbi Shmuel allowed you only to skin it up until the breast, because that's the part that you need, and not anymore. However, the Chachamim allowed you to Mafshit as Kulo, and the Chachamim tried to bring a Raya from the fact that you can, in our Mishnah, allowed you to do the tiltul with the mukta item as well. And therefore, over here as well, you should be allowed to continue the malacha of mafshit, to which the Gemara said that can't be the machlokas, because here we're talking about dinda reisa. The malacha of mafshit, of skiing an animal, is one of the avos malachas. It's a dinda reisa. And here, tiltul, a mukta, is only a dinda rabbanan. So therefore, the Gemara rejected this suggestion. Now the Gemara suggests, Amar Ravashi, betarti, pligi, rira bishman, and chachamim, regarding to, on two different points. Pligi betiltul, u pligi malacha. They're disagreeing with the halacha of mukta, and also disagreeing with the actual malacha itself. So meaning that there's two separate distinct points that they're arguing about. The first is the din d'oraisa of they're doing the skinning, whether or not it's going to be permissible to skin the entire thing. And then there's a second machlokas, whether or not there's a shayla of mukta. Ravashi is assuming that the machlokas with regards to mukta is whether or not someone's allowed to move the Pesach after it has been skinned up until the breast. According to Rabbi Shmuel, once you have done the parts that you need for the korban, the remainder is going to be mukta, because Rashi points out, it's still attached, the hides are still attached to the meat, which is going to be mukta. However, the Chachamim permit it because, the Chachamim are allowing it because they assumed that, based on the Mishnah, that it would be allowed mitzad the mukta. So really, the Iker Raya they're bringing is the machlokas about mukta, nothing to do with the malacha of the dinda reisa of mamshit. That's stam machlokas Rabbi Shmuel Baruch and the Chachamim. However, really, the etzim, they're trying to bring a raya for the din of mukta. And this is what they're saying back to the Chachamim responding to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. They're saying, "Imatilin tik asifir masifir." With regards to the mukta point, at least agree to us. Granted, you agree that there's an issue of mafshid. However, when it comes to the mukta shayla, at least you should assume that it's not a shayla of mukta, because if we are matil tik asifir masifir, if we are allowed to remove the casing of the Torah with the Torah itself, lo nitaltil or agabasis, then should he not be allowed to remove the hide also from the fact that with the meat also, that we mentioned before, that someone be allowed to move the casing into a mavay din derabanan, that you don't have to shoot the shituf mavos, so therefore you're allowed to violate the din derabanan. So hoter also, why don't we assume that at the end of the day you'd be allowed to violate the din derabanan and continue taking out the or in this circumstance? So the Gemara says now, the Gemara says, me dummy, but can you really compare the two cases? Hasam nasid basis ledavar amutar. In the case of the Sefer Torah, the casing itself is a base for something that's permitted, meaning that the actual Sefer Torah you're allowed to learn on Shabbos. The Sfarim, whatever you have, whatever school it might be, you're allowed to move that on Shabbos. However, here, hacha nasid basis ledavar. In terms of moving the animal hide, the hide itself is considered a base towards the meat, which is mukta. Why is it mukta? Because Rashi points out that the flesh and the mukta, the flesh of the meat is going to be eaten only at nighttime. So therefore, there's no use for it on Shabbos. Something that has no use on Shabbos is considered by definition to be mukta. Then accordingly, we're assuming that the comparison to the case of rescuing the scroll in the casing is going to be a flawed comparison, because at the end of the day, we're assuming that here you have a basis of davar ha'asr, and it's something that's a basis of davar ha'asr is mukta or not. We went to basis of davar ha'mutar, is something completely different. That's no issue at all to move it. So the Gemara says, Ela hachi kamalei. No. So this is what the Rabbanan are responding to Rabbi Yochanan Baruch. They said, if we're allowed to move the casing of a scroll together with the scroll itself, even though there's money from that point of the Mishnah said, even though there's money in it, so then can't you remove hide on the count of the meat? So here you have a mukta item in the casing, and even though there was a money, which is mukta, you're still allowed to move the casing in order to save the Sefer Torah. So the Gemara rejects this also. The Gemara says, midami, is that really comparable to our case? Hasam nasib asas ledavar ha'asr ledavar ha'mukta. Mutter, no. When it came to the case of the casing with the scroll, there's two items there. There's the money, and there's also the scroll itself, which is mutter. So that's called the basis of davar ha'asr v'davar ha'mutter. We're going to learn later on more about this concept. But fundamentally, a basis of davar ha'asr v'davar ha'mutter is allowed to be moved on Shabbos. It might not be lechatchila or to be gorm, that whole situation. We'll discuss that later on. But in this circumstance over here, it's definitely going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, however, when it come to the case of the hide of the animal, hacha kulu nasi basis davar ha'asr. Here, the entire hide is serving the meat, which again is going to be kulo a davar ha'asr. In this case, there would be no reason to assume that it should be permitted. So then the Gemara says, maybe ala hacha garmale. Maybe this is what the Rabbanan want to respond to Bilchman Roka. Im mevin tik sheyesh. If were allowed to bring the casing. It only had money. We're assuming that the Sefer Torah wasn't there in order to save the Sefer Torah, meaning that we're assuming the Sefer Torah is not in a casing and it's just there and the house is on fire. You're allowed to run and take this casing with the with only the money in it. So at that point, it's only a davar aser in order to save the Sefer Torah. So lo natal tel or agav baser. So we not be permitted to move the hide on account of the meat. Again, and here it's a fair comparison because it's a basis kula la davar aser, that it's only a base for the money. And here you're allowed to move that casing that only right now has the money in order to go save the Sefer Torah. So shouldn't we allowed as well to move the hide on account of the meat as well? Because at the end of the day, you are doing the, again, Paul and Shem Maneo, that it's really going to be mutter in that circumstance. That's why it's a comparison for the mitzvah as well. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara says, wait, the Gemara before that, the Gemara says, wait a second, but he go from another. How do you even know that it's going to be permitted to move the container with the casing with the meat, in, with the Sefer Torah? Cause don't we say, if you're going to assume it, we know this because we're going to say that since where there is money in the casing together with the actual scroll, then you're allowed to move it, that he doesn't need to first throw out the money. Then we could also assume that what would follow from there is that we're also allowed to bring the casing that only has the money also. So then in that circumstance, we're learning out that if you're allowed to move it out with both, then you should be allowed to move it out with the casing with just the money as well. But is that really similar to the Mishnah's case? In the Mishnah's case, we're assuming that the person, if he does do this, if we make him first throw out the money, again, so now we're assuming that there really is a din, we're going to see later on, that there's a din lechachila where you have the two items. You have the mukta and non-mukta items. You really should try to avoid having the mukta item in it, so you could shake off the money. So why don't you just assume that you could shake off the money? From the fact that we don't make you shake off the money, that assumes that you'd be allowed to just take the money as well. So the Gemara says that there's a difference, though, fundamentally, that if we make you first throw out the money, we're afraid in the meantime the fire is going to catch onto the scroll, and it's going to burn up the svarim. However, but in this circumstance, while he's running, he's able to throw out the money. So there, since he's allowed to throw out the money, there's no heter at all to assume that we'd be able to derive from here that you'd be allowed to just take the mukta item as well. So again, the Gemara is assuming that when I'm running with the mukta item and the non-mukta item, for some reason at that point, it's going to be too much for you to just dump out the mukta item. But here, when it comes to just running with the just mukta item, to take out that mukta item would be enough, and you wouldn't be afraid that we're going to burn the sefer, in which case it's going to be usher. The question is, why does the Gemara have to differentiate at all between these two situations? All about the guy's ability, meaning when there's two items versus only one item. Why? Tosfos just asked Akasha, why don't you just say that in the case above, in the situation where there's money and the Sefer Torah, the container is going to be a basas davar asr ve davar mutar, whereas in the situation where you have the money alone, that simply is just a basas davar asr, pashut chiluk. So the Gemara, Tosfos answers that really, when it comes to the halacha, that something is a basas davar and davar mutar and davar asr, the Gemara is bringing a raya, as we mentioned before, from the fact that this is also only a din bidyeved, that only if you can't get rid of the mukta item, you're allowed to have this situation. However, if you're able to get rid of the mukta item, then you would have to get rid of it. And for the fact that we didn't make that chiluk, that's what Tosfos points out, is what the Gemara is trying to get at. So the Gemara now says, so then the Gemara accepts that argument, and the Gemara says, really, so then Ella Amar Ravashi, because then we have no proof from the Mishnah at all about the idea of malus, because we don't have a raya that bechlal, that we can learn from the Mishnah that if you just take an item with mukta, it should be permitted. The Gemara says, Ella Amar Barav, to other circumstances, right? Again, the only reason you're allowed to take just the malus, because we're afraid that if we make you dump out the malus, then in that circumstance, maybe it would be too much time before you can get to the Deleika. When it comes to when you had the most and the Sefer Torah, whereas if you just had the most, maybe there really should be Aser. So the Gemara says, Ela Mar Baravashi, La'olam Kedemin Rekar. So really we're going back to the original answer that Bishmal and Rochan are arguing over the case of whether or not it's permitted to do the Isser of Mashit, and the Rabbanan brought the Isser of skinning the animal on Pesach, the Korban Pesach. However, the machlokas, what we said before, that hasam malacha and hacham, that what do you mean? That they're arguing, the Rabbanan say that they bring a raya from the din of mukta, which is only Israel Rabbanan, to the din of raya of mafshit. So the Gemara says, the kasha la chacha tilta vach malacha, where the original question we had, that one is only a din of Rabbanan, a xera de Rabbanan of mukta, as opposed to din of raya of the mafshit, which is one of the avos malachos. So the Gemara answers, could go into lo kibay le la or. That in this situation, we're discussing a case where one does not need the skin, the hide of the skin, in which case, the Gemara was assuming right now, we're also discussing a din of Rabbanan, and then since it's only going to be a davar shenim eskaven, it's something that's unintentional, then Over here, only a din d'rabbanan, and the rabbanan are bringing a raya from another din d'rabbanan, which we suspend in order to save a sefer Torah. So too, over here, you can suspend the din d'rabbanan in order to have a better korban pesach. So Gemara says, but really, is that true though? Is this really a davar shenu miskaven? You're for sure going to be skinning the hide. So if I'm for sure going to be skinning the hides and taking off the hide, isn't that definitely a psik reisha? As we've seen many times over here, that again, we've seen psik reisha that you're going to cut off the head and it's not going to die. Meaning, even though I don't want the chicken to be dead, if something is definitely going to happen, if it's for sure going to happen, that's called psik reisha. Then even Rabbi Shimon, who permits a davar shenu miskaven, an unintentional act, that is only going to be permitted if it's not 100% going to happen. However, if something is 100% going to happen, you know that when you open the fridge, the light's going to turn on. That's called a psik reisha, and that would be usher to do. So the Gemara now says, so then how, at the end of the day, so why would anyone say that it is permitted? Well, what are they being a raya from? So the Gemara answers the Shakile Bibarze. Here we're talking about a case where he removes the hides in thin dafka, thin strips over here, and Rashi points out that when you do that, and that's not considered the derech, and since it's not the derech, it's considered dindra badan, and therefore they're bringing a raya from it. So again, you're going to be skinning it and removing the hides in thin strips, in which case only malacha derbanan, and yet we are going to permit that, just like we permit the Isser Derabanan of Mukta in order to save the Sefer Torah, and that is what the Chachamim are bringing about over here. Bikivirgar, because the Kash really, and Rishonim already discusses this, is that what do you mean, this is the concept of Psik Resha. Psik Resha is normally when I, like we're mentioning, that you have a Shaila of a Malacha, and then you have of a Maisa that I do, right, I'm opening the fridge, and then for sure the light's gonna turn on. So that's just a secondary result of my action. However, when it comes to a Malacha that I don't want the purpose for, that's not considered a Psik Resha. That's something that's a different category of malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. Malacha she'ina tzricha legufa is when my starting point is not the maisa and then creating a malacha. My starting point is the malacha itself. Like, for example, bringing out a dead body where I don't enter a shes harabim because I don't want it in my house. I'm starting off with the malacha of carrying, of otsa. Okay, and then I'm just analyzing that it's malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. It's not because I actually fundamentally want to carry it, because I just want the body, the dead body, out of my house. That's the starting point over here. Here, I don't necessarily, if I'm doing something not in the derech, the shaka v'tarya should have just been that if it's all about the malacha, starting with the Isser Deraisa of Mavshin, it's just my Kavana is going to be different. So that's a very good kasher. Bikiv Eger asks, why isn't this a Shaila Malacha Shein Tzrich Gufa? But that's anyway, notwithstanding that kasher, that's what the Gemara goes with, that we're discussing the Shaila of Psik Resha. Okay, now the Gemara now continues. The Gemara says, quoting the Mishnah, Lahechad Matilna, so where are you allowed to take these things? The Gemara said, to a Mavoy, that's Mefulash, the Mavoy that was considered unopened, but Mishnah says, even to a Mavoy Mefulash. So now the Gemara says, Hechid Dami Mefulash, Hechid Dami Shein Mefulash. So the Gemara was asking, what is the meaning of the term open in a Mishnah? Was the term that it's unopened? And now, just to give a quick background, in Masechas Erevin, the term mefulash is usually referred to a mavay. A mavay is like a courtyard, right? It's an area which dindur abanan midoraisa. It's a rishus yachid, and you can carry them. However, it resembles rishus rabbi. People assume that you're going to allow to be carried in the mavay. Then you're allowed to carry in rishus rabbi also. So there's dindur abanan that's usher to carry in there, unless you do two things: that you do a shituf mavaos, that you're going to make a connection. That everyone has the same piece of bread, so there's shituf in that, and therefore it creates rishus yachid. And also you need a lechi or a kor. You need a post or a crossbeam. So now, when it comes to the case of generally understood what's considered the mavoi, it's usually considered that it's an area which is the courtyard that's enclosed on three sides and open to Rishus Rabbim only on its four sides. However, that's in a mefulash. However, when it's referred to mefulash, when it's considered an open mavoi, that's usually referring to a courtyard that has an enclosure on only two sides and you're going to be open on the other two. The Gemara was assuming now that when it comes to these definitions, it doesn't work for the Mishnah, because no one would allow you to rescue things into a mavoi that was open on that's going to be mefulash. It's open on two ends, because that mamish people would confuse with Rishus Rabbim, and it can't be that even for saving a Sefer Torah, we wouldn't allow you to bring it in to that Rishus, even though that Rishus is also an Isser Medin Derabbanan. So the Gemara is saying that's a different definition than the classic case in Erevin. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chista, Shalosh Mechita Sheshnei L'chayin Zem Avay She'en Mefulash. Rav Chista says that when it comes to this context, the Mavi has three walls and two lechis. Lechis are the side posts, right? The side things you put, the beams that you put on the side, those are at each entrance. That's going to be considered ain mefulash, that's considered unopened. However, shalosh mechitzas lechi echad zeh mavay mefulash. We're assuming that if there's three walls and one lechi, again, is a side post on only one side of the entrance, that's going to be considered open, that's considered mefulash, in which case that is what the Mishnah is referring to, in which case you're going to be allowed to be carried into. Now the Gemara says that's machlokes between the Tanaim in our Mishnah. So the Gemara says that Tavaya Libet Rabbi Lezer, and both of them, the Rabbanan and Ben Besira, who were arguing in our Mishnah, they were both according to Rabbi Eliezer, who held, the son of Rabbi Lezer holds, Hechsher Mavai. How do we kasher the Mavai to make it permitted to carry within this Mavai? Like we mentioned before, there's a Dinder Rabbanan, Isser to carry, unless you do those two things. So the Gemara says, Beit Shammai Omrim Lechi Vekura. Beit Shammai say that you need a Lechi, which is a side post, and a Kura, which is crossbeam, which is on the top. Right? They're vertical and horizontal. So the Gemara now says, Beit Shammai Omrim, you need both. Beit Shammai Omrim O Lechi O Kura. Beit Shammai says, you need either one. You need a Lechi or a Kura. That's going to be enough. Rabbi Lezer says, you need two Lechis. You need one on each side of the entrances. And in that case, Rav Chis is assuming that the Rabbanan and Beisera would agree with Rabbi Lezer that a Mavi requires two Lechis within this Shita. That's what they're arguing. And the Rabbanan are assuming that it's a shoe only of a Mavi into when you want to save a Sefer Torah. However, there's going to be no Kula in which case, where you're not saving for saving anything else. But Sarah is understanding that we're going to be makil in regards to saving the Sefer Torah Elam Mavoi to only have one lechi. In that circumstance, that's considered mefulash versus eno mefulash. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Rabba, shalosh mechitza v'lechiach mefulash karlisla. You're assuming that having three walls and one lechi are defining that as open. Granted, Rabbi Elazar says that Mavoi you're not allowed to carry, but you can't assume that that's going to be committed. That's going to be mefulash. You're not going to call that open. Rashi says, since it's closed on three sides, and even the fourth side, you have at least one lech, you're going to call that open, mamish. So the Gemara says, "V'older Rabbanan natil tocha ochlin amashkin." And furthermore, according to the Rabbanan, who allow you to save the sfarim in order to save the scrolls in this mavoi, so can't we assume that you should be allowed to save everything? Why? Because we're assuming at this point, the Rav Chis is assuming midas Rabbanan that the mavoi that we're discussing over here had two lechis as any other mavoi. And then, if that's the case, then it would follow that Rabbanan would be makel just because you pashtus did a shitof mavoz. Also, you did the other thing of making everyone into a shusar ayach. You did the second requirement. If that's the case, then it's fully allowed to carry. So then why are we only allowing you to carry Sfarim? I'll carry you whatever you want. So the Gemara says, So therefore, Rabbah rejects this. We reject Rav Chisda's explanation, and therefore about Mefulash and Inu Mefulash, and therefore we have to discuss a different definition of what's Mefulash and Inu Mefulash. So we're assuming the Mavai has two walls and two Lechis at one entrance. That's going to be considered an unopened Mavai. Shtei Mechitzas Lechi Echad Ze Mavai HaMefulash. And then if it has two walls and one Lechi, meaning and you have a lechi at one of the two entrances, that would be considered open. And both of them are arguing bidas Rabbi Yehuda. And what is that? The Sanya Yeser Al Kain Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishiyesh Lo Shtei Batei B'Shtei Seder Rishus Rabbim. Rabbi Yehuda said in a braisa that even if you have two houses on two opposite ends of Rishus Rabbim, we saw this Gemara in the beginning, I think the first parak. Also lechi mikan v'lechi mikan. You're allowed to put lechis on each end of the houses, and a lechi here at the end of the other house. O kor mikan v'kor mikan. Or you could put a kor here and a kor there. No sin, no sin emta. You're allowed to pick up things and carry them in the street in between them, because Rabbi Yehuda understood that fundamentally that this area is not considered Rishus Rabbim Midaraisa. Therefore, it's only Dindar Rabbanan, and if it's Dindar Rabbanan, we know that generally when you have Rishus that only Midar Rabbanan is Rishus Rabbim, all you have to do is make a Lechir Korah in order to permit it to carry on the level of Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda is assuming that in this circumstance, when you have the street enclosure, the Chachamim are understanding Rabbi Yehuda that the two walls are enough to remove the Rishus Rabbim status from the area in between. They require that you need to have three complete walls. So Rabbah's understanding that both Rabbanan and agree with Rabbi Yehuda that a lechi on either side of these two mavos are going to be enough to carry within him, because that's enough. That's what Rabbi Yehuda held. The Rabbanan are assuming that they're going to hold that this is true even for a mavo into which you have you want to save the Sefer Torah. So that's what the Gemara is assuming right now. And Bebesira is understanding that for the sake of saving the Sfarim, Rabbi Yehuda is going to permit the mavo to have only one lechi. That's the machlokas according to Rashi. Amrulo. So the Chachamim said back to Rabbi Yehuda, "Ein marvin rishus rabbim kach." No, you're not allowed to make a Rishus Rabbim, you can't create the Rishus Rabbim and Rishus Yachid with just the Lechis or Korahs in order to enclose the street between the houses. That would not be enough. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Abaye, Abaye said back to Rabbah, Lididach nami l'Rabbanan, natzi l'sochan ochlin imashkin. But according to you, we should be allowed, according to Rabbanan, to save where this mavoi even food and drink. Okay, Abaye is understanding the same objection that Rabbah had before, Bidash of Chista, that if we're assuming that there's a shita of mavos also, so then if you've done that, so then you've done the shita of mavos, and you've also created the lechi of the korah, which is what was normally required, then it should follow that it's created Rosh Hashanah fully, in which case you should be allowed to save whatever you want, Rashi points out. So the Gemara now says, rather, so then we're going to reject this, now we come on to a different answer. Elamar Rashi, Vashi answers, Shalosh Mechitzos, that if you have three walls and one lechi, that's considered an unopened mavoi. Shalosh mechitzos below lechi, v'zeh mavoi mefulash. If you have three walls and no lechi, that's going to be considered an open mavoi. So now, according to Rashi points out, and now according both to Rabbanan and Ben Basira, we're assuming b'das Rabbi Eliezer that normally a mavoi requires three walls and two lechis, and then they're also agreeing with b'das Rabbi Eliezer, who's meikel in regards to that you could save a sefer, and assumes that the mavoi is not necessarily going to be as machmir for this case. So machlokas between them is going to see how far Rabbi Eliezer goes with this kula. We're assuming that Rabbanan are going to assume that Rabbi Lezer assumes that you need two two lechis, right? According to this, right? Rashi says you can require two lechis, but you would only require one. Normally require two, but in order to save a sefer Torah, we allow you to have one. However, Ben Mesir is assuming that Rabbi Lezer requires no lechis at all. So that is going to be the machlokas over here. Ve'afilu Rabbi Lezer d'amar banin lechayim, and Rabbi Lezer number says two lechis. Hane mila le'ochad imashkin. That's regards to saving food. However, v'ala sefer Torah by lechi chad sagi, like we mentioned before, that if you have only one lechi, that would be enough. And that was made. Rashi points out this idea is liba derabanan according to the rabbis. That since we're assuming that the Mavi doesn't have a normal, the normal two lechis, only Sfarim, only Sifrei Kodesh are going to be allowed to be saved. Okay, so now we've just answered how to get around the Mishnah over there. Okay, a little bit complicated, and Chazret, the Mishnah's going to get more clarity. Now the next Mishnah says, Matzilin Muslim Shalash, so they're continuing in the idea if there's a fire, Rechbar Hatzan in someone's house, so you're allowed to save food for three meals, because you know you have to have Shalash Shalash, and we're going to discuss this, Chiyuv, Haroi La'adam, La'ada. So what is going to be fit for people is allowed to be saved for people. Haroi lebehema, lebehema. What's fit for animals is going to be allowed to be saved for animals. Now, the Rishonim point out that you don't need shalash shudas for the animals. It means whatever food they would need it to be eaten on Shabbos. However, very fascinating, Tiberi says, no. We know the Gemara Brachos tells us you're not allowed to eat before you give your animals food. So if you're having three sudas on Shabbos, but pashas, you have to give your animals three sudas. The dafka meant that in a chanami. It's going back to the idea of shalash shudas also, because just like when you're having a meal, you have to feed your animals before every meal. So you're having three sudas. You would have to feed your animals three sudas. Very interesting to phrase as well. The Gemara now says, Keta, what circumstances are we going to say that there's enough to food for the shal shudas? Not with the lake of Bilal Shabbos. If fire broke on Friday night before a person ate food, Matzil Mazal Shal Shudas, in that case, you'd be allowed to save for three meals because you have to have shal shudas on Shabbos. Bishakris, if it broke in the morning before the morning meal, however, you already had Friday night meal, then Matzil Mazal Shal Shudas, you're only about to have enough food for two meals because there are only two meals remaining. The Mincha Mazal Shudakas, and then if you already ate the two meals and you only have one left after Mincha time, then you'd be allowed to save only enough for one meal. That's the minimum one meal remains. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ma'ol Matil and Mazun Shalash. Rabbi Yossi says, it was allowed to save enough for Shalash. Rabbi Yossi has an idea, the food is not mukhtar, we're not allowed to take it into an area, we're not violating any didra bun by taking it out. The only reason that we're going to see, based on the Gemara, that you're not allowed to take it out is because Bala Mamono. So he says if that's the case, once you already make a hekka that you're not allowed to take everything out, you're allowed to be taking out the minimum of Shalash. Now the Gemara says, Michti, Beheterek HaTarach, at the end of the day, when you're saving the food from a Shabbos, food is not mukhtar, and you're bringing it into an area which has a proper air. So why can't I just take out the rest of all the food that I want? So the Gemara says, Natil Feg, take as much as you want. Why would I need to take out only shalash shudas? And versus Rava, mitoch shadam bal amamono isharis leilatuya lechabuye. Rava understands because a person is so scared over all his money, he's concerned over his money. Then if you allow him. If you allow him to take out all the food that he wants, he's going to be so nervous by taking everything out. And then he says, oh wait, there's more. Then he's going to come to extinguish the fire. And so therefore, by making this hekker, they only allow to take out shalash seudos, enough for three different meals, then that's already enough to realize that he's not going to be in such a rush to get it out, in which case, he's not going to come to extinguish the fire. The Gemara says, but if that's the case, what we learn in the Braisa, which teaches us that v'nishbar lo chavis b'rosh gago, if a barrel was filled with wine and broke on someone's rooftop, maybe kliachar menech l'teir, let her bring a kli, a vessel, and put it under the barrel in order to save the wine that's pouring out. That would be only provided that you do not bring another kli and catch the wine midair as it's falling from the roof, or another kli to hold it leveled and then put it on the roof in order to collect the wine as it's going off the edge. The Gemara says hasa mai gzira ika. But when it comes to that case, what gzira is there? Why did the Rabbanan say that to save the wine? But then there's no issue whatsoever. The Gemara answers hachanami gzira shami avi kli derech chusam. The reason the Rabbanan didn't allow you to take more kli and take more vessels in order to catch this wine is because we're afraid if we allow you, Rashi says, if we allow you to bring an unlimited number of kalim, then in that case, a person is going to look for more containers, and he ran out of containers, he's going to run to Shus Rabim to get more containers, and therefore we made exer. The Gemara says, Gufa, going back to the case of Nishbul Chavis Brosh Gago, maybe Klacher, then if it broke on someone's rooftop, you're allowed to bring another kli and place it beneath the barrel. As long as he doesn't bring another kli and catch it with the wine midair, Kliacher Vitzarf, or another kli, you put it a level with the roof. There's not in the orchid. However, if guests are coming and they need wine, then in that case we would allow you to bring another kli, another vessel to catch the wine. So then the Gemara says, if also you're allowed to hold out the wine leveled to catch more wine, but you can't then first use the other kelim. Oh, then I'm going to invite people because at the time that you needed the wine, you didn't have anyone that you were inviting. However, you have to invite people, say, come over to my house, and then by that nature, you'd be allowed to save more wine. But in Mar Mekach, and someone is not allowed to play a trick in this matter, you're not allowed to invite people who you know already ate, and then they're going to say, oh yeah, I'm coming over, and they're pretending. That is the sheet shita of the first of the Tanakhama. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yosef says you can't make this trick. You can invite people you know already ate and aren't actually planning on eating the wine, drinking the wine, because the dinder abundant here. We relax that prohibition in this case and do this trick. So Gemara says again, it means that you're not actually doing it, but the theoretically, since it's okay, we're allowed you to provide to do this trick. Let me look at Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Come and maybe this machlokas about allowing you to do this trick is going to machlokas Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yoshua, because we see in a different context. Tanya also has no shnaf lebor. If you have an animal and it's any of its either boy or girl child on that fell into penanyanta, we know that halacha is that also ben espanol is not allowed to be shechted on the same day. That's a gzera midoraisa. So the Torah tells you you're not allowed to do that. So since if you have the animal and its offspring are both in the pit, you're only allowed to shecht one of them. Manyanta, if you're allowed to shecht an animal. So if you wanted to take it out of the pit, you're allowed to shecht it and eat it for consumption, but you're not allowed to take both of that because you're not allowed to eat both of them manyanta. So what can you do? Rabbi Lezer says, you raise the first animal in order to shecht it because you want to eat it. And the second animal, you have to give it it's food only in the pit. You're not allowed, it doesn't die, but you're not allowed to go take it out of the pit because it's mukzah from there. You can take the first animal and claim that you want to use it to shecht it. And you can do a trick and take the second one and say, you know what, really, I actually think this one is better. I'm going to shecht this one. Even though originally you knew that you were doing that when you first took out the first one, you're allowed to do this trick because again, the din of mukta over here is only a gzeir darabanan. And here we relax that prohibition when it falls into the pit. And in which case, after you take them both out, you can then decide which one you want to decide is better for you, and in that case it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara was assuming that Rabbi Yeshua, who allows you in this case of a hefsed mamon, if a financial loss, he is allowing you to provide the trick. Rabbi Lezer is going to be machmer. So we're assuming that would be the case. Rabbi Yeshua would allow you to permit to invite guests who you know already have been invited. That's because you have the loss of the wine. And apparently Rabbi Eliezer would be machmer on that. That's what the Gemara wants to assume. The Gemara says, "Mind, no, you can't conclude that from those two cases. The cases are fundamentally different. Why dilmad kan lo kamar Rabbi Lezer hasim d'efshar b'parnasa av halakad l'efshar lo?" That when it came to the case, Rabbi Lezer was machmir because in the case it was possible to avoid the financial loss by giving you're not going to lose the animal if you give you put enough animal food in that pit on Yontif, so let the animal eat itself, and then after Yontif you'll take it out, you're not losing the animal at all. However, over here where it's not possible to avoid the financial loss because the wine is spilling out, then maybe Rabbi Lezer would taka b'meiko in that circumstances. So we can't compare the two cases. And then the Gemara says also in Das Rabbi Yeshua we can't compare the two cases. Why? Because the only reason Rabbi Yeshua was meikil in the case of the animal in the pit is because it is and you're allowed to take out the animal because the animal is suffering. We know that there's din d'oraisa. Some learn it out. I think the Rambam learns it out from this week's parsha. In now Chutzar is finally catching up. Chukas Balak in the concept where Bilam hit his animal and the animal complained. We see from there that it's an iser of tzar ba'alei chayim, which Agav Shaila, why doesn't apply to Goyim? Okay, but either way, that's one of the makoras for tzar ba'alei chayim being d'oraisa. So then, if you're allowed, the animal is suffering, so then only in that circumstance, Rabbi Yeshua is going to be makel to do this trick. However, but in this case, there's no din d'oraisa at play. There's no inin of hefsed mamon. Granted, yes, but there's not a din d'oraisa. So therefore, you would not be Mekel, so therefore you can't compare the two cases. Now the Gemara continues. Tanu Rabbanan, Heitzel pas dekia, inu natzel pas hadra'a. If you are saving bread of nice, good flour, so then you can't take the lesser quality and claim that that's what you wanted for Shabbos. However, pas hadra'a, matzel pas dekia, if you took bread that was an inferior quality, it was a lower level bread, then you would be allowed to take the higher quality bread. Umatzilin miyom kippur im l'shabbos, and so someone's allowed to save food from Yom Kippur for Shabbos, that if a fire broke out on Yom Kippur, which is on Friday, that's that can't be the way our calendars work out. It's not possible nowadays. We're saying a theoretical case where they used to do it al piriyah. It could fall out on Friday, so then you would be allowed to save food for Shabbos. Avalom Shabbos Yom Kippur. However, you're not allowed to save food for Shabbos for Yom Kippur because Rashi points out there would be other food to be obtained for the post the fast for you to make afterwards. However, they point out maybe if you weren't able to point out, then everyone if you weren't able to get other food, you would be making okay, fine. But in Tzarek Lomar B'Shabbos Yom Tov, and obviously you would not be allowed to save food on Shabbos for Yom Tov. Shabbos, but nor for Shabbos, so this coming one, because Rashi again points out, you have the whole week to prepare food for your next Shabbos. Now the Gemara continues, Taner Rabbanan, Shabbat, Shachach Pas B'Taner, someone forgot bread in an oven, the Kiddush Lav Yom, and Shabbos became Shabbos, became nighttime, Matzil Mazon Shosu, you're allowed to save food for 3 meals. We know that Radias HaPas is a Gzera Darabanan. We assume it's a Dinder Abanan, you're not allowed to take out the bread, because it's a chachma v'ina malacha, yet the Rabbanan were gozer on that. So here we're allowing you to take out food, bread, enough bread for 3 meals. And also you can tell others to come and take food for yourself. And when you're removing the bread, you shouldn't do it in the normal manner with that tray thing that the pizza men have, that thing that they put in the oven, so that you can't use that. However, that's the normal manner, but you're allowed to use a knife, which is showing a heker. The Gemara says, any v'atanat v'yishmael, lo sase ka malacha, Rabbi Yishmael learned out, you're not allowed to do any malacha on Shabbos, any labors, yatzot kia shofar, that blowing the shofar shofar, and removing the pot, which is not a, it's not a malacha. It's just chacham. It's hard to blow the shofar. It's hard to put the pas, to put the bread again. They just like stick it to the walls of the oven. So it's hard to do that. It's hard to figure that out. But that's not a malacha d'rabanan. It's only a din d'rabanan because they are uvda d'chol. So then we're going to say they're d'rabanan. It's usher. So the Gemara is assuming if there's only a din d'rabanan, so then why can't you just take it out in the normal manner? We're relaxing a lot because hefsid mamon, whatever it is, we're allowing you to do the din d'rabanan. So why can't you just take it out in the normal manner? The Gemara answers because come out the at the end of the day, where you're able to do a shina, you're able to do a hecker and make something different. So you should do it as different as possible to show that this really is not mutter, but only in a circumstance that has the mamon you're allowed to make them. The Gemara says, "Amar of chistel olim yashkim adam motzah Shabbos." Now we're discussing shalshuras. The Gemara says, "Over here, a person should get up Friday early in the morning." Mishnah Berurah quotes this halacha to get up early on Friday and start taking care of your Shabbos. Nitch nevar be yom hashishi vechinu es hasher aviyu. On the sixth day, they would prepare for what they bring. La'alter, this implies immediately they would do it bizrizos shaila nachronim. Why just isn't this rizim makdim mitzvah? Okay, everyone should do this even for hechsher mitzvah. We see zirim makdim in place over here. The Gemara continues, "Amar of Abba, the Shabbos chayv adam letzua shtei kikars." On Shabbos, a person is obligated to break the bread on motzi on two loaves. This famous idea of lecha mishnah, they required a double portion. Amar Avashi and the Rama Agav extends this din to all meals. If you're having more than three sudos, any meal that you have there with bread or paskins, you would require to have lecha mishnah. The shaila later achorim kisser shanarach and machlokas other achorim whether you need to do this when you make kiddush. Do you have to? I know Shlomo Zalman, I think, called this way also like this kisser shanarach, that when you make kiddush on pasuk b'kistin and you're only having a kiddush, you're not washing. Should you also have the concept of lecha mishnah extending that Rama? The kisser shanarach says yes. Shlomo Zalman says yes. Others say no. You shouldn't do the tafka. Okay, but that's a shaila. The Gemara says, "Amar Avashi chazina later Rav Kahana denaka tarte batzah chadar." So Rav Kahana, he would take two loaves, but he'd only break one of them. He'd only cut only one. Amar liktuk because he says it was gathered, and then they broke double that they only took one. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. However, this famous sheet of the Gra that the Zohar and the Bavli never argue. There's only one machlokas about davening. Every other, there's no other machlokas in all of the Zohar that. So he says the Zohar says you break 12 chalas. How could that be? So the Gra says the Zohar must understand that you take lecha mishnah, you cut both pieces. So therefore, you have. You're going to have four pieces at three meals, and then you're going to have the 12 that the Zohar was referring to. No machlokas between the Zohar and the Gemara. I'm not sure exactly how he deals with Rabbi Abba. Okay, the Gemara now says, "Kadina Rabbi Zira have batze akula shirusa." Rabbi Zira would bake a big enough piece to last the entire meal, so he would show you a really big piece to show the kavat Shabbos. He's having such a big piece. The Gemara says, "Amalei Ravina Ravashi va'mechzik Ravusa." He appears like you're Gliding. You're eating as much as you want. Amalei kevin chol yomei lavid. No, I don't do this during the week, and I'm only showing this on Shabbos. It doesn't look like I'm overeating. Okay, I'll pick up from Rabbi Avi Rasi, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow.